Good evening, everybody. What's up? And this is the first episode of the 2021 JTS podcast. My name is Marcus Modi, alongside my partners, Patton Cook and Gabe Jones. Hopefully, y'all having a great first week of 2021. There's a lot of things that's happened over these past few days. We're still in COVID protocol, so hopefully everybody's playing it safe. As Gabe is shaking his head, no, it's might have been some folks turning up for the new year. Might have been going to Atlanta, Miami, and whatnot, booking it all down. But hopefully everybody's still playing it safe as we're trying to figure things out. If you want to take that vaccine, go ahead, take that vaccine. Your opinion is your opinion. But let's go back to the sports aspect of it. We're going to start off with the college football. College football playoff was this past weekend. And we're going to hit off with the second game of the night. But it's the Ohio State versus Clemson game. Clemson did not win this one. There was a fan favorite, as Gabe told us off air. He lost a couple dollars off of that game.
I have not lost my money yet. It's still in limbo, apparently. So I had Clemson winning the whole thing, $15. I had great odds. And obviously, they blew it. So thank you, Clemson. And thank you, DraftKings, for just constantly reminding me whenever I look at my open bets that I just have $15 that is just gone. I appreciate it. But what did you guys think of the game?
Well, I'll start first, and I think, Gabe, what they're thinking there is they think Clemson's going to come in like with the money in the bank. By God, it's Clemson football team that come in and steal the show. But that game was really the hyped-up game, because I think the game we'll talk about here in a little bit, the Alabama and Notre Dame, wasn't much expectation. And for this game, for Ohio State and Clemson, this was what everyone was talking about. And I think it really did live up to the hype, just because of kind of the back and forth affair early on, especially in that first half. I thought Ohio State really performed very well overall. And Justin Fields, his performance last season against Clemson in this same sort of setup in the semifinal, he didn't perform very well. They didn't perform up to his standards, which is going to be a top five pick, and if not the second pick, right behind the guy on the other side of the football field in Trevor Lawrence. So for him, this is a big time for him, whether or not he could live up to those expectations. And Marcus, I don't know about you, but I think he lived up to him and might have raised the stock even a little bit more. I don't think he could have done much else in that game for Clemson, just because he kept Clemson's defense on their heels all night. I thought he did a very good job on whether or not to kind of run the football, kind of get out of the pocket and run, or stay in there and deliver some absolute bombs down the field to those speedy wide receivers they have on the outside. So for Justin Fields, I thought it was terrific. For Clemson, and for Dabo Sweeney, I'm not the biggest Dabo fan myself. I kind of relished in his disaster. And unfortunately enough for me, I only get that maybe once a year, maybe, because there's not many games Clemson loses on a year out basis. But Dabo, there's a lot of talking. He had this Ohio State team ranked 11th in his coach's poll. And as Twitter was going off, man, this might be the best 11th ranked team in college football history. And I thought they did exactly that. But for Clemson, that defense kind of didn't show up. And I thought they really got exposed for the competition. They just didn't play this season. I think that's something we're going to need to talk about later on, is for Clemson, can't play the cupcakes all season long and then come into a buzzsaw like Ohio State offense. They just didn't see much of that all season long. Of course, you had Notre Dame, but this is just a different level. But a great game overall. Trevor Lawrence, I don't think he necessarily didn't live up to expectations, but I think a lot was asked of him in this game to end up winning the football game, and he just couldn't live up to it.
For me, you brought up some great, really good points. Justin Fields, he played out of his mind. I'm going to just read this stat line. 22 of 28, 385 yards, 6 touchdowns, and only 1 interception. Now, whatever Ohio State needed, they was just going to either give it to him or Trey Sermon. Those were the two guys that just got it done for Ohio State. They got whatever they wanted. Trey Sermon, a former Sooner, I will add. I know I was giving high praises for him as soon as I heard that announcement. 31 carries, 193 yards, and a touchdown. So they were just feeding him. One thing I had noticed a lot early on in that game was I was confused with Dabo Swinney and the Clemson defense on why they were trying to rush to the line so late. And when you don't have your front four fully set, and then it was multiple times where it's a guessing game. I will let the listeners know, with defensive coordinators, if you're trying to play the run, sometimes you're going to guess wrong and slant to the wrong side, and it's going the opposing team goes the opposite way and get positive yardage. That was happening a lot in that game where it was questioning why rush. Might as well get set. If you believe that Justin Fields wasn't the best with his pre-snap reads, go ahead and get set. Disguise it really well, but you didn't do that. You trying to rush the line, and it was easy pickings for him because all you had to do was snap the ball. The offensive line for Ohio State was getting to the second level whenever they wanted to. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say Justin Fields, he might have crept up to the number one slot. That's just depending on who Jacksonville picks up as their head coach. I know there's a lot of rumors talking about Urban Meyer, but I don't know if Urban's going to take that NFL job. But I think I stand right there with you, Patton, saying that Justin Fields is the number two pick no matter what. Unless the Jets want to go the route of grabbing an offensive lineman.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what the Jets do, because we always come to expect the absolute worst of the Jets, and they're kind of moved on from Adam Gase, so we'll see in that department. But you bring up a great point all season. He was kind of that number two guy, and he came out like a man possessed a lot of the times, like we see from an Alabama running back, kind of these no-name guys that get into the playoff. Derrick Henry had one of these games against Michigan State a couple years ago before he was really the guy. And in this one, it was Trey Sermon. And I thought with a running game and a guy like Justin Fields passing the ball, Clemson was always going to be in a tough spot, and they just couldn't end up keeping up. And for Trevor Lawrence, this is his last game in a Clemson uniform, and you really got to put into perspective what this kid did as a freshman, you know, all the way up to his junior year. And that's ultimately be one of the best college quarterbacks in college football history, and he didn't win a Heisman, which is just crazy to think. Devontae Smith ended up winning it, a guy we'll talk about in a little bit later, but I don't know if there's another guy more who's a better quarterback that didn't end up winning the Heisman than what you're looking at for Trevor Lawrence, but I think he can end up being an even better NFL quarterback, because I think it's just going to set up – his game sets up really nicely in the NFL depending on what team he goes to. And for a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars, they've got a lot of talent that Trevor can really work with. So a good game, sad to see it end for Trevor, but ultimately you got to have a winner and loser.
One thing for Clemson they have to do is run the ball more. They have to run the ball more. You only gave Travis Etienne, who was, keep in mind, a first-round pick last year, if he would have went to the draft last year, you only gave him 10 carries for 32 yards. Keep in mind, also, he is the ACC all-time leading rusher. All-time, and you only gave him 10 carries. Dabo, you have to do better. Because if you saw on the other side with Trey Sermon getting 30 carries and your guy only getting 10, that's pretty questionable. But Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be the first pick. If there's going to be – it's going to be a lot pretty questionable him not going number one, even if you are Jacksonville getting Urban Meyer. Still pretty questionable just on the qualities that he has. And with a good running back with James Robinson, who was undrafted last year, still got Westbrook and all those guys, they can be a pretty dangerous team. They just need consistent quarterback play. So let's go ahead and move forward, because I guess, well, honestly, both of these games were somewhat blowouts. It wasn't close. The Alabama game versus Notre Dame, I'm sorry, buddy, but I'm gonna keep it honest with you. I had no faith in Notre Dame, and probably a lot of people who was betting the over between that game as Alabama won it. And you had hit on earlier, Devontae Smith won in the Heisman. Hey, that man, NFL defensive coordinators, you got to watch out for this man. This man is just electric. He's going to be a problem, just plain and simple.
So with Smith, it was his fourth year, right? He's a senior, right? Correct? Do you think that before we get into the game, of course, do you think that that will translate into the league? Or do you think that he was just like a man amongst boys this season?
Well, for me, I think just when you look at some of the catches he's making, a lot of these catches are really 5-yard routes that turn into 75. And I think that translates really good to the NFL, because that shows it's not just the quarterback who's giving you absolute dimes all the time. You got Mac Jones in there, who's going to be end up being, I think, a pretty good low-level starting quarterback in the NFL. But for Devontae Smith, I think he's going to be a superstar. And when you look at what he's done at Alabama, and really before their main guy went down at the start of the season, he was kind of that second option, but he had his Heisman moment in this game. And I think when you're looking at a team who's looking at him right now, I think the Miami Dolphins, who are in that third to fourth pick, have got to be drooling right now, because when you've got Tua Tagovailoa, the weapons there aren't great for him. And I think if you can get a guy like that in there, you got to be feel really, really, really good about it. But the game, I think he had his Heisman moment in this Notre Dame game with the three touchdowns.
I think with the route running that he has, he is one of the best route runners that was in college football. And the speed that he has as well, those both translate pretty well. Because if you got the route running and then you can add on a 4.3, 4.4 speed on top of it, it's going to be a lot of times he's just going to be tough to handle. Like Patton said, he can go get a slant route and take his 70 yards. I mean, another guy, Jerry Jeudy from last year, he was a former player from Alabama. You see him right now with Drew Lock. He had quite a bit of number of drops this year, but you saw that he was one of the star talents last year and it translated well this year. I think it really, a lot of these Alabama receivers, it's been a lot of transferring over positively for those Alabama receivers. And I don't think it's going to be a step and a drop for Devonta Smith. If he goes to Miami with Tua, they've already had that connection. So I think he's going to be looking for him a lot if he's in Miami.
And one thing before we move on, I think it's going to be really important for teams. And I think we've seen this a lot, where if he doesn't end up having that 4.3 40, don't worry about it. You got a guy in A.J. Brown who ran that 4.4, 4.5 range, and there's just a different football speed on the field. And I think when you see a guy like John Ross, who ended up having that 4.3, ended up beating Chris Johnson's 40 time, he's really not developed, because I think just running in pads and running in underwear is going to be – it's just so different. And I think we're starting to see that a little bit more. Scouts are starting to move away from the lightning 40 times, but I think he's still going to end up running that time, but just no need to panic if he doesn't run that favored 4.3 time.
Yeah. Oh, now let's go ahead and go talk about this game. It was a 31-14 finish. It really was a lopsided affair as Alabama won it. Najee Harris, buck 25. Devonta Smith, 7 receptions, 130 yards, 3 touchdowns. Mac Jones, cruising 25 of 30 for 4 touchdowns. It's not really much you could say on that, as just Alabama honestly just cruised on to a victory. What did you have anything that you saw that was interesting for you?
Well, for a guy that I'm a fan of, the defensive coordinator, now that he's going to come over be my coach, and Clark Lee, the defensive coordinator over for Notre Dame, I was kind of looking at what that defense could do to the offense, and I didn't have a whole lot of expectations, and I thought it did enough of what it could. They only let up 31 points, but really I thought Alabama was in cruise control that entire second half, just because they knew if they ran the ball, they could end this game at about 30 minutes. So I thought they did that, and I thought the defense for Notre Dame, I thought they tried their best, but just when you got the athletes that Alabama has, where you look over at the sideline where they've got freshmen and sophomores on special teams who would start. I had a lot of schools in the SEC and in college football. It's just a whole different ball game. And Notre Dame is starting to have this same sort of effect in the college football playoff, where they get in at that either fourth or third seed, and they kind of just get run out of the gym, if you will, just because the talent just isn't there. And unfortunately enough, Ian Book, who had that great performance against Clemson in that first game, he just didn't have it today. Only 229 yards and 1 interception, 0 touchdowns. When you got a guy in Mac Jones who's dropping 4 touchdowns in his sleep, that's just not going to be good enough. So for Notre Dame, same sort of result, but I think you got to say it's a great season for them because they make it to the college football playoff, but you ultimately want more from a team who constantly makes it in and constantly gets kind of beat up on pretty easily.
Yeah, for Notre Dame, defensively, coming into the game, everybody knew that their corners and their secondary was somewhat questionable. And for their DC, it was tough. I mean, if you drop two safeties, they're just going to hand the ball off to Najee Harris, and he's going to run the ball down your throat. You drop down one safety, you have to worry about Devonta Smith one-on-ones. So it was pretty tough for Notre Dame trying to figure out how to stop them defensively. And then when you're not putting up points offensively, it was just a bad matchup, I will say, for Notre Dame. Just plain and simple, Alabama, this team is just loaded, like you said, loaded with weapons. Even upcoming game on the 11th, it's going to be a tough task for Ohio State. This is not going to be no slouch. These are not no slouches. Like, this is another team like Clemson who had weapons, but just a step better.
And I think this is ultimately the college football playoff we wanted to see. I think whatever team came out of that Clemson and Ohio State matchup, we would have been okay with. But now that it's Ohio State, I guess now we can talk about they're having some issues with the COVID as kind of they've had all season long with the Big Ten protocols. It's different than what the SEC is. And I think you really got to take a look at that. If a player does end up testing positive, they're out for 2 weeks no matter what. For the SEC, it's closer to 10 days at the very least, but the Big Ten's kind of taking that extra leap. So right now, as of right now, there isn't really a major name out there, but they usually keep that under wraps. But for me, Marcus, I don't know about you, but I think it's going to be hard-pressed to pick another team than Alabama just because the way they've looked all season long, they're putting up 40 to 45 points every single game against some of the best defenses they have to offer at them. And right now, they're the hottest football team. And right now, Nick Saban, you got to like his chances because he's hungry for another one. He's hungry to kind of establish himself as the best football coach, I think, ever. And I think we need to start moving away just from the college football. I think we need to start talking about just football in general in terms of NFL as well. And he's looking to cement that resume. So for me, I'm hard-pressed to pick a team other than Alabama in this college football final.
It was reports coming out earlier today saying that they're going to have majority of their players for the game on the 11th because, like you just said, it was a chance that they was gonna have to push it back another week if those tests was coming and accumulating a lot more. And personally, I thought that it would hurt Ohio State even more if they had to wait out a whole another week, giving Nick Saban another week to prepare against that Ohio State offense. But I agree with you. Alabama is the better team, I believe. Don't get me wrong. I think Ohio State is a really good football team. It's just that the amount of games they play compared to Alabama, somewhat staggering. You had with Justin Fields, you had a couple games where he had flaws in them. But you had the running game to fall back on. Now, you know with Nick Saban, he's going to try to take away. He's going to try his best to take away that run game. So Ohio State, you're going to have to depend on your Justin Fields, guys. Hey, Justin Fields, this is your time. Once again, this is your moment. Last year didn't work in your favor against Clemson. Now we want to see another performance like we saw this past week against one of the top-tier defenses in college football to make a name for yourself. Try to prepare yourself to that first pick as well. You might get a little extra boost going against this Bama defense.
Do you think the coaches will like just make sure that their players are in the hotel or wherever they are, making sure they ain't going nowhere? Nobody is getting anything before this game.
Saban ain't going for it. I think Saban announced that early on after he tested positive. I'm pretty sure they've been on quarantine since earlier in the season. What was that, like week three or four?
Yeah.
When Saban got tested positive, I don't think Saban going for it.
Right. Yeah, maximum security prison.
Yeah, for some reason, I just see the whole Alabama football team a cave somewhere in the middle of nowhere. You're not allowed to go to the store. I mean, they're bringing in food every time. But for me, I agree. I think you just need to get this game played. I think it'd be unfortunate if you had to wait another week. And you've had some critics come out and say Ohio State's trying to do this to get Justin Fields healthy. But right now, I think Alabama, they've got a chance to get Jaylen Waddle back, who was lost early on in the season, and to just provide even more compliments alongside Devontae Smith. So I think if you can get anything out of Jaylen Waddle in this game, it's going to be awfully tough for Ohio State. But ultimately, you got to go out there and play the game, and it'll be in Miami. So who knows? You might get the Miami flu the night before for one of these players, but we'll see.
Yeah, players, if you're listening to this right now, do your best to be on COVID protocol so you can play in the biggest game of your young careers.
Yeah.
That
indeed.
You don't want,
hey.
You don't want to miss out on this, on the biggest game, just to have a little fun. You can celebrate after that W though, when you get that ring. That's what that would be my 2 cents on it.
Indeed. But let's go ahead. Hey, shout out to my UT Vols friends out there. Roll Tide, because Clemson, Ohio State cost me some money. All right.
Yeah, I don't think your UT friends are going to be a little bit happy about that comment there. But we're going to move forward. Let's hit on the NBA real quick. And I'm going to just pass it to my partner, Patton, because he's had some words as we got a little bit of time before we could send it to a break. He had some words about a certain superstar. And the next, like literally 2 days afterwards, he had to eat his words. So I'm gonna just pass it off to my partner.
Yeah, well, early on in the season, I was kind of feeling myself. I was seeing Steph Curry being a little what I like to call fraudulent. I kind of throw that word around quite a lot for a few guys. And I thought I was going to be right on another take. I thought I saw Steph Curry kind of go into hiding whenever things don't go well. I just kind of have this perception of him to kind of throw his hand in a door handle and just kind of smash it to break his hand. Obviously, that's not what happened. But, yeah, get an injury, get something happened. And I thought I saw that from Steph Curry. Well, unfortunately enough for me, I've taken an uppercut and a sweet chin music to the face the past couple of games. And right now, Steph Curry is putting on a MVP-type performance the past couple of games. Had a 62-point win against Portland. And for me, that's where you see kind of Steph Curry doing his best work. And when his team's kind of carefree, playing carefree basketball, and I thought they were doing exactly that, had 62 points. I pretty much made every shot he attempted in that game from the three-point line in that game as well. And then followed it up with a 26 in a 31-point game alongside with 30. So I thought the same sort of thing for Steph Curry. I hate to see it. He kind of proved me wrong. I thought I was going to have another season of Pat and Cook being right about Steph Curry. But Steph, I think you might have heard me. I don't know who told him about little old Patton here in Nashville, Tennessee. But he's heard me. And right now, Steph, he's kind of putting his team on the back. Had a tough go of it last night against the LA Clippers. But I won't boast on that too much just because I think Steph earned a game or two below 30 points like you had last night. But NBA right now, it's back in full swing. And another team I guess we can talk about, Marcus, is the Phoenix Suns right now, a team I was pretty excited to watch, and I've enjoyed watching them already so far this season. And they're getting contributions from a lot of guys. Cameron Payne last night had 10 assists for them. They're just getting assists in all avenues. And right now you're seeing a little bit of what DeAndre Ayton can contribute to this team. And if you're Mr. Barry Gresham, I don't know if he's tuning into a few of his students. He's got to be loving it right now because they're just playing a great brand of basketball in a fun style that you can really get behind with Devin Booker kind of leading the way with Chris Paul.
Yes, sir. I agree with you. I thought that Chris Paul move is going to help them out a lot, that leadership role that they needed in that locker room. And also somebody like Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder last night had 21 points. And it's been a lot of team basketball. It's a lot more team basketball instead of a lot more isolations that was going on in the previous years with Devin Booker. Aiden having a double-double. Chris Paul, that's the one thing with Chris Paul. He's became into this role where he's understanding now that he doesn't have to be the guy to give you 20 and 10. But he wants to be the guy to set up the offense to where everybody eats. And that's why I think makes this team even more dangerous, because if everybody is getting a piece of the pie, it's tough to key in on one person, because you got Devin Booker, you got Aiden, you got Mikal Bridges, the defensive stopper for the Suns as of right now. Then you got somebody like Cam Johnson, Cam Payne. You got guys that's putting in the effort or whatnot and just chipping in certain areas. It don't have to always be points. It don't have to always be rebounds. You can get the defense. You can get the steals. And it's just blending in together. And I think they're blending in pretty well right now, early. And that's a good sign for when you go down the road, because a lot of these guys, they haven't been in the playoffs. So you got to build their confidence up early. So once you get in those crunch time moments, they can be able to succeed.
No, absolutely. And I love what Coach Monty Williams has done with this team. Everybody, like y'all said, everybody's eating. I thought that with the addition of Chris Paul, we would see maybe an explosion of points. Well, not really an explosion. Devin Booker was already hooping, but an added bonus to his points. But maybe some of his points are going to just other players, feeding other guys around the court. Aiden, he just picked up basically where he left off and taking a step up. Do you think that these guys have a chance at All-Star? Devin Booker got in last year because of, I believe, injury. Somebody was injured, so he got in because of that. Do you think there is a chance for D-Book or CP3, who was also an All-Star last year, to get in again, or even an Aiden this year?
I think the guard kind of spot in the West is a pretty tough spot. I think if you're looking at Chris Paul, you've got Steph, you've got Damian Lillard, you got CJ McCollum, you got guys kind of in that avenue. I think Chris Paul just on his name, and I think if you keep on winning, it kind of just ups your development, I think, of getting into an All-Star game. Right now, they're second or first in the West right now with the LA Lakers, and I think if you look at it, you'd be hard-pressed not to give a guy like a Chris Paul a chance, just because what he's meant to this team. And I think it's a fun story for him, because he didn't look like he was enjoying the brand of basketball in Houston. And I don't think a lot of players would, kind of playing with a guy like Steph or James Harden, I should say. So right now he's kind of playing team basketball. And I think that's always what he's been about, especially in those LA Clipper games with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. I think that was just fun for him to be around. So I think he's kind of gotten back to that. So I don't know if DeAndre Ayton is going to have the stats to get in there over a Jokic and guys like that, Rudy Gobert. But I think as long as you make it into the playoffs, I don't think DeAndre is going to care too much. But it's a fun conversation to have for a Phoenix Suns fan, that you're going to have maybe multiple All-Stars on All-Star weekend.
That hasn't happened, what, since Steve Nash and Amari?
Yeah. And Shaq,
probably. I almost said Charles Barkley and Kevin Johnson. But yeah, no, Steve Nash, Amari, and Shaquille.
Or, yeah, might have been Steve and Shaq.
Yeah, I think it was. Steve Nash and Shaquille.
But yeah, I think there's a chance. There's definitely a chance between those two guys. I'd say Chris Paul and D-Book, just because you got Jokic, you got Rudy Gobert, somebody they're probably trying to put in, Carl Anthony Towns, somebody like that, and insert them in that All-Star lineup. So the front court, because you can't. Also, Anthony Davis. I'm just throwing out names right now.
Right.
I don't think Rudy Gobert is invited to All-Star weekend.
Yeah, I think he might be in the blackballed from the NBA for a little bit for his rewards.
But I think that was with that kind of front court. It would be probably a little bit hard for Aiden to get in. But Devin Booker and Chris Paul, don't get me wrong, it's not no scrubs in the West either. But when you have one of the best records in the West as of right now, it's tough to try to keep those guys out of it. One person you might want to add into that conversation is John Wall. John Wall, since he's been back, has been balling. I will say John Wall, he's looking like an all-star this year. But the Suns, they have been rolling. Hey, that's a team you got to watch out for down the line. How the predictions are going for the few for us, some of them are right, some of them are wrong. But like I said, this is early on. It's still in the beginning yep. of the season. We've only got, 13 games? Been through about 13 games, if that.
And really, the way I like to look at it is the Jags were 1-0 after week one in the NFL. So that's kind of how I'm looking at my predictions. Not very hot, but that's how I'm kind of putting it on myself for a little bit until that analogy doesn't fly for too much longer.
Yeah, you gotta wait. It start getting when the rubber meets the road is around close to All-Star break. That's when you know his team's gonna be separating themselves. But let's go ahead and send it to a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna hit on this wild card weekend and the playoffs. It's playoff time, baby. Yes, sir. So we're gonna send it to a quick break. We'll be right back here with more Just Talking Sports.
Yo, welcome back. Getting into the NFL. Guys, y'all know what time it is. It's playoff time. Yes, it is my favorite time of the year, the NFL playoffs. Call it this weekend, WCW, Not Woman Crush Wednesday. Wild card weekend, baby. Let's go. But before we get into that, we're going to hit up week 17. So, of course, you know, we do buck the lines. We have to do some predictions. Just run right through it. Bills destroy the Dolphins. Cowboys-Giants game. The Cowboys do cowboyish things. It just came right down to the wire. They blew it. Cards-Rams. We didn't have Goff. Wofford came in. He didn't play absolutely horrendous, but the Rams won that game. Packers blew out the Bears, which was expected. But the game that we're going to talk about, guys, should everybody that lost their money and or bet on this game for Buck the Lions, should they just get everything back? Because it looked like the Eagles were trying to throw this game. I mean, just in my humble opinion. Marcus, were you watching the worst Sunday night game in NFL history?
It might not have been the worst Sunday night games, but it could have been down there at the bottom, I will say. The Eagles, one thing is funny is because the Eagles came out and said that they was going to play their third string quarterback during the week. So it wasn't like it was he got hurt or no. Nah, it was like a moment where it was funny because I saw this, I think it was on Get Up ESPN, but it was like basically this man got time just because like it was, you know how in high school where it was senior night and they let all the seniors play just so they could, because their parents was out on the field or on the court. So they, it felt like it was a moment for their third string quarterback. Was it Schofield? No, yes.
Sudfield, yeah. Something around there.
Something around there. It was, but that's the thing, because it was a close game. That's why Joe Judge was feeling some type of way, because it was a close game. I mean, you actually had a chance to win, but they wanted to tank. That was just plain and simple. They can't say it out loud, but everybody knows that they want that sixth spot instead of the ninth spot. So with that sixth spot, you know what they're trying to do? They most likely going to try to get a receiver or get somebody on that defensive side. It's plain and simple. We understand what Doug Peterson was trying to do. We all would do it in our fantasy leagues. We would every typical person does it in a fantasy league. And if they in a dynasty league, knowing they want to get a top pick, you going to tank. If you're on a bad team and playing video games and you want to get traded or you want to get a top pick, what you going to do? Tank. Everybody knows that teams will tank, but got mad when the Eagles decided to tank.
Please don't tank whenever you're the only game on. You are the last game of the season. Yeah. Literally, Coach Ron Rivera, at the end of the game, they walk out. A man said, thanks to Coach Doug. So, come on. Like, it was ridiculous. I believe that the Eagles, they went for, a two-point conversion? Or they went for it on fourth down instead of just kicking the field goal. And so after that, it was just blatantly obvious what was going on.
Yeah, I thought not the worst game I've ever watched, but definitely the funniest, because the funniest part for me was that Washington was trying their best to give it back to the Eagles because you had multiple turnovers on their end after they started pulling. And I was watching a live stream of Big Cat on Barstool Sports, and PFT, who's a big Washington football team fan, and his point was the only way we lose this game is if we throw a pick six. And that was kind of the way I thought, just because there was nothing that Sudfield was going to do against that defense. When you got Chase Young, I mean, he's just licking his lips every time he was lining up, because he knew that he wasn't having to rush after a Jalen Hurts who's going to run away from him. And I thought that was exactly what it was. So a really funny game for me. I thought, to Gabe's point, you can kind of tank at the 12 o'clock kind of kickoff. And when it's Sunday night football, when every football fan in America is kind of licking up every last football game they can, you can't hide it. Me, I went ahead and watched the post-game show on the Eagles YouTube channel. I ended up having Doug Peterson on. And I'll tell you what, I've never seen such harsh questions asked to a coach. They were just asking him, other than losing the football game, why else would you put in Nate Sudfeld? And I thought it was exactly that. So a funny Sunday night football game, but I picked this one. I called it the whole way. I knew this was going to happen. So I give credit to myself here at Patton Cook to, I knew what was happening. I knew Doug Peterson would try and fix something up, but I don't think there's, like Marcus said, there's no shame in wanting to get a better draft pick. But I think these players in that locker room coming back next season, that's something that's going to be talked about.
I think also it might not have been him. It might have been Howie above him.
Well, like, yeah, he might have got buzzed down. He might have got buzzed down.
He might have got that call and was like, if you don't throw this game, you're gone. that might have been the talk before this game. So we don't know what happened with the GM and the coach behind the scenes. No. So we might get mad at the head coach, but the GM might have made that call and said, "Hey, we're throwing this game."
There were some reports that a couple of Eagles players had to be held back from going at the coach, even fighting Coach Dougie Doug. He might have had to throw some hands on the sidelines. But yeah, the players actually do want to win games. The defensive coach said, we have a no hat policy in our league. And that's why I chose the Eagles. I was like, all right, look, it's the Washington football team. Jalen Hurts is going to go out here and ball out. But man, what a game. I wish that I didn't waste my 3 hours of time sitting there watching that game. But moving on to actual good football, hopefully. We'll get started. I mean, Wild Card Weekend is going to start on a Saturday. First game of the weekend will be Colts versus Bills. Now, Bills coming into this game, Bills just wiped the Dolphins just out of here. I think Josh Allen played in the first half. They put in their backup, and they just kept scoring. So there was nothing the Dolphins could do to stop that. Now, the Colts coming into this game, playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars, of course, losing to them early in the season. Jacksonville seeking to go 2-0 against this Colts team, and they almost did it, got to the middle, and then the Colts just finally pulled away at the end. Guys, I'll start with you, Patton. Who you got in this game? Go ahead.
Well, as much as I would like to pick the Colts, just because I think the way the Bills are playing right now, I think that is the team that's got a really good shot at beating the Chiefs, just because they've got it on both ends and they can score the football like the best of them. And Josh Allen, he's rightfully an MVP candidate right now, right beside Aaron Rodgers. And I'm going to throw in my guy Derrick Henry alongside there as well. But I think I really would be hard-pressed to go against the Bills right now, just because – they're peaking at the right time. They had their struggles early on. They had that kind of disaster in Nashville coming off the kind of COVID week that we – or COVID 2 weeks we had, kind of laid a bit of an egg on that game. But ever since that loss there, they've really kind of bounced back, and they've been the team that ultimately a lot of these players want to be. And I think Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen are right at the forefront of that. And one note to this game as well, there's going to be some Bills Mafia in the stadium for this game. So I don't know if they'll be able to make this the noise that a regular 60,000 seat stadium could bring. But I think starved Bills fans in the postseason, I think they're going to make a lot of noise. So I'm going to go with the Bills in this one, but I'd like to pick the Colts just because I'd rather play the Colts than the Bills, if you get what I'm saying here.
I'm going to agree with Patton, and I'm going with the Bills. Bills haven't lost since what, almost mid-October or beginning of November. They've won what, six or seven straight. They are one of the hottest teams And they can be a problem offensively and defensively. Their defense, not as high-powered as their offense goes, but Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen has been one of the best duos outside of maybe Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams right now in the league. You can't stop those guys. Josh Allen been an MVP candidate. Stephon Diggs was not too far right behind him. I think he would be in that top six category for the MVP candidate. The Colts, they will try to keep it close, but if the Bills are scoring a lot of points quick and you're putting the ball in Phillip Rivers' hands, it might be an early retirement for Phillip Rivers after this game on Saturday. But I'm going to go with the Bills.
Indeed. I think that the Colts' only saving grace is if they were to hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor. And then hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor and then keep handing the ball off to Jonathan Taylor. But obviously, you can't do that if you fall down early in the game. So, good luck to the Colts. But Phil Rivers, he'll probably be out of here. And maybe they'll get another incompetent quarterback in Carson Wentz. But, hey, we'll see. Moving on to the next game on this Saturday, Rams versus Seahawks. So, Rams. They're dealing with injury. We don't know if Jared Goff will be in the game. The Rams did say that they will have Cooper Kupp for the game. But with Wolford, not so sure. Marcus, who you got in this game?
They also just came out and announced that he was questionable. So there's a slight chance he might play. But I'm still going to side. I'm going to side with Seattle just because they've came back from that Giants loss and they've been – slowly coming back to their full form. Now these injuries was hurting them early on in the season, but they're slowly getting back to the Seattle football. And their defense actually has been holding up pretty well as of late. Like you said, John Wolford, I'm going to side with Russell Wilson. but if Jared Goff somewhat comes back, that's the thing though. Will he be 50%? Will he be 75%? Those are questions that are going to come up because you don't want a 75% Jared Goff that ends up getting hurt again and he gets bounced out.
I'm going to be honest. Does it matter if Jared Goff has a thumb or not with him throwing the ball? I don't think it really matters much. He's not the greatest quarterback, period. just being honest. And also injury on Seattle side, a huge part of their defense, Adams. He is questionable for this game. Now, usually in the playoffs, questionable for a star player means that I'm playing. I mean, I'm not 100%, but I'm playing.
Pat, I think this is also Jamal's first playoff game. I think he's going to play.
He's definitely shooting up. 100%. But, yeah, Patton, do you think that the Seahawks come out and get a win against this Rams defense, or will the Rams be able to control the ball?
I think it's going to be vital if the Rams want to have a chance to control the football. And I think you're going to need an Aaron Donald MVP-type performance in this one. The offensive line for Seattle traditionally hasn't been great, but right now they've kind of got some solidified spots down there at the front five right now. And they've done a good job at protecting Russell Wilson. He's not forced to kind of scramble around for his life. He's kind of gotten into where he wants to be. And he's one of the best pocket quarterbacks in the league right now for Russell Wilson. The touch and accuracy he has kind of gets overshadowed just because how athletic Russell is. But right now he's delivering good footballs and he kind of eclipsed that 40 touchdown mark this season. So for me, I'm going to go with Marcus as well. You got to give Seattle the edge here. They're at home, although they're not going to have the home field advantage with the 12th man necessarily. I think it can't be overstated how much being able to sleep in your own bed is going to be for some of these guys because it's been a long and stressful season all season long. So any opportunity and any kind of in favor or help you have, it's going to be huge. So I'm going to go with Seattle on this one. I just think I don't care if it's Jared Goff or another backup for him. I think it's going to be hard pressed for him because this defense for Seattle is starting to wake up, and that's a scary sight with this offense.
Indeed, indeed. The next game on the slate, this game, it will be a team that has – the greatest quarterback of all time, and Tom Brady, on a new Bucs team. They will not have just all the chemistry. I mean, they have been clicking the last few weeks, but they played some duds. They played the Falcons twice and some other incompetent team, but they are going against the Washington football team, the comeback player of the year, Alex Smith, a team that has a pretty good defense so far this season. Coach Ron Rivera would like to get another playoff win under his belt and just put a cap on this season. Guys, do you think there is any chance that the Washington football team will win this game, or no chance at all? What you thinking, Marcus?
The chance that they will have is Tom Brady getting injured. And I don't think that Washington will be able to put up the same amount of points, put up points like the Buccaneers can. But don't get me wrong, that front four can be a problem. Washington's front four can be a problem. But what I'm saying is, can I see them scoring 30 points? That's I don't know. I can't really just see that. So that's going to be my take on it.
I see this being kind of the least likely upset in the NFL playoffs. Of course, you're going to have Chase Young. He's kind of already kind of poked the bear in Tom Brady. I would advise not doing that. Kevin Byard did that in his first stint against Tom Brady, and it seemed like Tom, he kind of read the headlines and kind of just picked on Kevin all game long. So for Chase Young, I would kind of advise him to kind of stop the talking. But I see this least likely. I think in the other games, you see the Rams and you see the Colts, and you see avenues on where they can come in and beat these teams on the road. But here against the Bucs, or actually Washington's going to be at home. I nearly forgot that. But that's about the only advantage I see them having, is having a home game. And that's a long distance for Tampa to travel. So I think that's the only shot they got, is they hope that Tom's a little jet lag. But for me, I just don't see an avenue. I know the front that Washington has is going to be pretty lethal for them, but I just see running the football is going to be big for them. Ronald Jones, and one spot that kind of hasn't been talked about a lot this season, just in terms of production, Antonio Brown's starting to become one of the star wide receivers that they wanted him to be early on in the season. He's starting to catch touchdown passes at a high clip, and not just kind of slant routes into the end zone. They're go routes, and he's making some great catches. So for me, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans is a bit of a question in this game, whether or not he'll go, but I have a feeling he's going to give it a go, just because he's a guy who hasn't had a whole this is his first playoff game as well, like Jamal Adams. So for me, I see Mike Evans playing in this game, and I see the Bucs running away with it. I just see Tom Brady. He's for all the talk of him being washed and having a tough season, like another player, Russell Wilson, I just talked about, he's got 40 touchdowns to himself as well. So I see Tom Brady kind of willing this Tampa Bay team ahead of Washington.
I will say this. This does have the recipe for Tom Brady loss. How do you beat Brady? You get after him, you knock him down on the ground. Washington has a good defense. They are playing on the road. And Tom Brady, who does he lose to in the playoffs? Eli Manning, Ryan Tannehill last year, Nick Foles in the Super Bowl, Alex Smith, garbage quarterbacks, Tom Brady. Dude, it has all the makings for a Tom Brady upset. But no, dude, if an NFC least team wins a game in the playoffs, I might be done with football. I just wouldn't be able to believe it. But
he'll be more hurt about Tom Brady's legacy than him talk. Yep. Yeah. Let me speak the facts to the listeners. That's how Gabe is feeling, because he knows it would hurt Tom Brady's legacy.
Not at all. Tom Brady could lose and not win another game in the football at period, and he'll be considered the GOAT. So come on now, six of them.
You do the exact same thing to LeBron James, but we're gonna keep it moving. We keep it moving.
All right, moving on to the next day. Now this game, all eyes in Tennessee and in Baltimore will be on this first game on Sunday. Ravens, Titans. So the Titans, they are hot on offense, but their defense, very questionable. They almost dropped one to the Texans team in week 17. And for the Ravens, they were doing pretty good earlier in the season. Then they just dropped a few games, but then they had to get hot. They had to win those five games in a row so they could make it into the playoffs. So right now, just like the Bills, they are a team that is rolling. Patton, will your Titans have enough to beat this Baltimore team?
Well, I think this is going to be the closest game of the playoffs, just in terms of matchup. You've got two 11-5 teams, and you got a Titans game at home, which I will be at, my first playoff game since I was 10 years old. I mean, good grief. I'll be happy to be there, but I'm going to be a nervous wreck, I think, for the entire game. What a game this is going to be. And I see for the Titans and Ravens, this was always a matchup that we talked about in the 2002-03 eras with Eddie George and Ray Lewis. And it's kind of built up to that with the Derrick Henry and this Ravens defense. And my hope is for Derrick Henry, he's got another one of those stiff arms, 250-yard type performances, because I think we're going to need it. And I think the key for the Titans is in this game is going to be to keep that god-awful defense on the sideline for as long as they can, because what I saw on Sunday was the most disgraceful performance I've ever seen. When you have your head coach knowing that they can't stop anyone in any way, we were going for it at our own 44-yard line with about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I mean, we just knew. I know a lot of people didn't like the call. I didn't mind it because I think we knew exactly what was going to happen if we gave the ball back to Deshaun Watson. So for this defense, they just need to make one or two plays. Just give me an interception. Give me a Lamar Jackson fumble. I'm not asking for a Stonewall defense and a vintage Titans defense, but for me in this one, I'm going to go with the Titans purely from my heart. I'm going to go what the Titans did in their Super Bowl run a long time ago, and that's beat the Jacksonville Jaguars three times in a calendar year, and I'm going for that here. We beat them in the playoffs last year. We beat them in the regular season this season, and I'm going for another one at home, which I'll be at, and Lamar, LaFraud Jackson, please give us this win, will you?
All right, I will say this is the one of the most toss-up games for me, and like I'm still struggling on deciding who will win this game because I can see Lamar and the Ravens continuing on their high road against that god-awful Titans defense. But on the other side, I can see Derrick Henry going for 200 yards again, and Ryan Tannehill don't have to throw over 150 yards and get another Titans win. And I, because it's baiting to go for the Titans, but that Ryan Tannehill and then that secondary is, that defense is awful, but do I want to put my faith against Derrick Henry? Go ahead, Gabe. Let me think on it a little bit more. I gotta
look. I honestly, it hurts my heart to say this, but I have to go with the Ravens, man. The Titans defense, their defense is so bad. I don't think anything to be able to stop Lamar and Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins in this zone read. I think that they'll just run all over the field. If the Ravens get up early, obviously we've seen what Lamar can do with a lead. He doesn't really drop leads, and he's actually been throwing the ball pretty good these last few weeks. And against this Titans defense, he might look like a Russell Wilson. He might look like a Pat Mahomes. So I just don't believe in the Titans defense. Their offense is good. Tannehill, he's been playing good. But, yeah, I just can't. I can't bet against – I'm betting against the Titans defense. That is what I'm doing.
And I really can't fault that. And I know you might think I'm going to go at you, but you really can't fault it because the defense has been what it has been all season. That's been terrible. And that's at the feet of Mike Vrabel not hiring a DC. But, Marcus, enough pandering to the audience. Let's get a prediction here.
I'll go with the Ravens. I'm going to just go with the Ravens. I hope Derrick Henry don't stiff arm me along with the Ravens defense with this pick.
Hey, I'm rooting for the Titans. Just know I'm rooting for the Titans. Even though they did end my dynasty, I'm rooting for the Titans. Down with everything that has to do with the Baltimore Ravens. But good luck. All right, the next game. Now this one. Bears versus the Saints. Now, hear me out, guys. I think this has all the makings to be an upset. All right, so for the Saints, on the Saints side, Drew Brees, this is his last year. he can, well, this is not officially his last year, but as far as everybody is concerned, I think we all think that this is his last year. Michael Thomas is coming back from injury. They did not have their running back room because of COVID. We're not sure if they will be available for the game. But for the Bears side, Mitchell Trubisky, he is basically fighting for his job in Chicago. If he wins this game, maybe they keep him. If they lose this game, he could be out of Chicago. I don't know how much he likes the Windy City, but if he actually enjoys staying there, I think he's going to try to win this game. Now, they did get murdered by the Packers this past week, but with Trubisky trying to fight for his job and the Bears being a great defense, I think that they can get after Drew Brees. Not hoping for this, but if they were to sag Drew Brees, maybe hurt him. He broke all of his ribs except for one this season. And the Saints being the Saints with their murky, murky playoff history, I think this would be the one that would be the upset this weekend. Marcus, what are you thinking? Do you think that the Saints can vanquish these Bears? Or do you think that the Bears might snatch another one for the Saints?
I think this – well, there was a report saying that Alvin Kamara is going through, like, practice reps, but at home. Like, so he's going through all the necessary things to prepare himself to play this upcoming week, which is a good sign for them. Once again, I'm not sold on Mitchell Trubisky. I really haven't been sold since the Bears drafted him. For me, they got to put up points. Allen Robinson and David Montgomery. If the Bears going to win, it's going to be through them and not Mitchell. But I don't see it happening.
Yeah, this one's going to be a tough one. And the way I'm going to look at it is if Alvin Kamara is not out on the field, I think the Bears have a chance, because I think if they could limit Drew Brees to passing the football, I think that gives guys like Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks a real shot to get back to the quarterback. And I think that's going to be big for them. Whether or not Kamara will be back on the field, the last time we saw Alvin on Christmas Day, he dropped 6 touchdowns and won a whole lot of fantasy leagues on that day. But he's got the COVID right now, and there's questions whether or not he's going to be cleared. Right now, Sean Payton says, we'll see, and that's the most we're going to get out of him. But so at the time we're filming this podcast, you just don't know. So it's going to be a toss-up, but I think I'm going to have to go with the favorites in this one. At some point, Drew Brees has got to show up in the playoffs at home, and I think this is going to be the time. He's kind of got showed up by Kirk Cousins a couple of times now, and we'll see. So for me, I'm going to go against Mitchell Trubisky, as much as I would love to see the Bears and Bears faithful not know what to do with Mitchell Trubisky after the season. I think this is going to be the end of the run, and ultimately I think this is going to be the start of a pretty good matchup of possibly a Tampa Bay Buccaneers and a New Orleans Saints matchup later on in the postseason.
And that is what I'm all for. I would love to see it. But once again, we shall see the Saints. I personally believe if they were not the New Orleans Saints, like if it was this team and they were the Denver Broncos, like literally just the name, like the Denver Broncos, or I don't know, the Carolina Panthers, they might be the most talented team top to bottom as far as offensively and defensively. But they are the New Orleans Saints, and they have just a history of blowing it in the playoffs. So I'm going with the Saints, but do not be surprised. Please do not be surprised if they blow this game on Sunday. Moving on, the last game of Wild Card Weekend. This is another one. We got a division game, basically. We got a team that does have a rich history in winning and even Super Bowl wins. We got a Super Bowl winning quarterback in Big Ben. Their offense has struggled. It's funny to say that a team has struggled whenever they started out 11-0, but that is the case. They did rest some guys this week, but they should be feeling good coming into this game. They're going against a team that hasn't made the playoffs since the early 2000s, I believe 02. This team has had more 0-16 and more 1-15 seasons than playoff appearances in the last 20 years. And we all know who we're talking about. Steelers going against the Cleveland Browns. Will the Browns be able to get a win on this Sunday? Marcus, I'll start with you.
I think this is another toss-up game, honestly, for me. Just because the Steelers, they have been lopsided. They've shown weakness in the latter part of the season. I think the Cleveland Browns have been on the upside, but also they lost to the Jets. And without having all their players back, it caused them to struggle. They struggled a lot. And I think now moving forward, knowing that they had to play this team literally last week, that's another thing too. Like, who are you going to side more on? Because last week in week 17, the Browns did win, but the Steelers almost won the game with their backup quarterback.
Yes.
And Mason Rudolph.
Yes. I will say for the Browns, they will be without a lot of their coaching staff and a few key players. Their head coach and play caller, Kevin Stefanski, I believe he will be out because of COVID protocol. So I don't think that the Browns are going to be able to win this game. The Steelers blew them out earlier in the season. And as you said, in this last game, they almost got the win with Mason Rudolph. They lost by 2 points. Patton, am I crazy? Do you think that the Browns will be able to come up on the Steelers, or do you think the Steelers will just roll right through them?
Well, before the COVID, this was going to be the game where I was going to pick the upset. I like what the Browns do just offensively. They do a lot what I think Tennessee wants to do just in terms of running the football, and that gives Baker Mayfield the chance of play action where defenses really don't know whether to bite on Nick Chubb, and if you don't do that, he can rip off a 45, 50-yard run for a touchdown. But if you don't, and kind of give the play action pass. So for me, I was going to go with the Browns, but this whole element of not having your head coach on the football field and your play caller, I know there's talk whether or not they're going to have him do it virtually, whether they can have him at home, kind of give the plays from his home. I think that'd be brilliant television. I don't know if they're going to allow that or not. I haven't seen a full concrete report whether or not they're going to allow that. So for me, just with all the stuff in there, you got players still not going to be able to Pro Bowl guard Joel Bettino. He's not going to be able to play along with Katerrell Hodge. And there's still receivers from last week that they weren't allowed to play a couple weeks ago. I don't know if they're allowed to play now or not. But for me, I'm going to go with the Steelers just because they're not facing the COVID issues that the Browns are. So I'm going to go with the Steelers, but I don't feel good about it.
I am also going with siding with the Steelers. I didn't let that be known. So, yeah, I'm going with the Steelers.
Yeah, I too. It is across the board unanimous. I believe that the Steelers will be able to get this win. All right, so going back through, because, you know, we got to get these lines going. It is double points. We'll start at the top. All right, Colts versus Bills. Marcus, the Bills, winner and the spread.
Bills by 7.
All right. Patton?
I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills in this one, and I'm going to go with them by 10. I don't see the Colts being able to hang for as long as they would like in this one.
And I will go the Bills by 3.
Side spot about this Bills game. I'm on ESPN right now, and you know they kind of have the ticket prices on here, and right now the tickets are as low as $10,000. So Bills fans are putting the mortgage to get into the building for this one. So I thought that was a funny one to point out. Sorry, Gabe.
That's all good. I'll hit you right now, right back at your Rams, Seahawks. So you got?
I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this one. Right now they're favored by 3.5, and I think that's going to be a pretty generous number. I see them winning this one by 10 to 14 points. I think the whether or not Jared Goff is going to play is going to be big in this one, just in terms of the points. But I'm going to go with the assumption that he's not going to play just because I just don't see it for me. So I'm going to go with the Seahawks by 14.
All right. Marcus?
I'm going to go Seahawks by 3.
All right. And I will take the Seahawks by 7. Bucks, Washington. Marcus?
Bucks by 10.
All right. Patton?
I'm going to go Bucks by 20.
And I will go Bucks by 21. Let's go Ravens, Titans.
Oh, I'll go Ravens by 3.
I'm going to go with Titans by three. I'm going to get a Logan Sloman kick for the winner again.
Disgusting. Ravens by seven. Bears Saints.
Saints by four.
I'm going to go with the Saints by seven in this one.
And I will go Saints by three. Browns Steelers for the last one. Margus.
I'll go Steelers. I say Steelers by seven.
I'll go Steelers by 10 in this one.
By 10, and I will go Steelers by seven. Sorry, Margus. All right, Margus, wrap us up.
All right, we appreciate you guys listening and tuning in to the first episode of the 2021 year. But this is another episode of JTS Podcast. We appreciate all of y'all. Hopefully y'all have a wonderful evening and good night or morning when you listen to this. But once again, peace out.